You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. On today's program, we're discussing breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and our guests today are radiation oncologist Dr. Karen Godette, breast cancer survivor Jeanette Ross, and cancer support group advocate Anissa Palmer. You need to get in on this conversation about breast cancer. Call us with your questions right now at 404-880-9255. For those of you on social media, you may also tweet your question on Twitter at CCRTD. The number 404-880-9255. Let's take a question now from the line. Dee is calling from Atlanta. Hello, Dee. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, I have a relative who has an inverted nipple, and she just noticed it about 7 months ago. She did go to her doctor, and she had two tests. One was a mammogram and a ultrasound, and then I think the MRI, and they said that they saw nothing. Is there a reason that you might think that she has that, and is there another test that she should be interested in getting?
Dr. Godette.
Okay, so the thing with an inverted nipple is sometimes it's a sign for a locally advanced breast cancer. And so those tests that you mentioned, the ultrasound, the mammogram, and the MRI, are the things that they would do to make sure that there's no underlying cancer in that breast. If the person has all those tests and still feels something, despite if the tests are negative, they still should see a breast surgeon to do something further. Because sometimes that may be associated with a bloody nipple discharge, and although it's not cancer, there are other diseases of the breast that could be hidden. Mm-hmm. So the patient should still, if it's something that's new and just suddenly appeared, they should probably see a breast surgeon just to make sure everything is okay. But in terms of the tests that they've had, they've had a complete breast workup, but they still should see a physician.
Well, no, she has seen a physician.
Okay, and they said everything was okay?
Well, yes, but, you know, for it to just suddenly happen, and she didn't know if there's anything. I mean, she doesn't have any discharge or anything like that.
Okay.
But she no lumps. She, you know, gets her mammograms on a regular basis. But is there any other books or anything that she should be researching as well?
No, I mean, I think she just needs to be closely followed. So it may be something that's going on in the duct. So I would suggest that she just keep up with her mammograms and follow up at her physician visits.
Thank you, Dee, for your call. And that's a good point, Dr. Godette. We should not be afraid to go to another doctor, a second opinion, a third opinion.
Right.
We're not offending you as doctors when we say or need or feel we need another doctor's opinion. That is okay.
No. I think it's always a good idea to seek another opinion. And the one thing I do want to make sure the patients understand, though, because you don't agree with one doctor doesn't mean the doctor's wrong either.
True.
So
true.
Sometimes we have the reverse where people keep on searching because they don't like what you recommend.
Yes.
And because you don't like it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Right.
That being said, if something persists or turns out to continue to be a problem, then you should have it followed and see what happens. There are other things other than cancer that can happen. And you could have issues with the duct or other things.
And that's a great point because, you know, we were thinking and talking about breast cancer. Your questions are welcomed right now at 404-880-9255. We're talking about cancer, but that's a wonderful point, Dr. Godette. There are other matters. It may not be cancer, but we want you to be healthy. The idea is your best health here, correct? And so by seeing a doctor, you're able to address any matters that might be going that may not be cancerous.
And you'd be closer followed. And once you're closely followed, if anything should show up in the future, at least you'll be in the right place.
And you talked about the advancements in medicine, and there's some new treatment options that you have at Emory, particularly around radiation. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. About a year and a half ago, we started a program for intraoperative radiation therapy. And traditionally, women have been treated with breast cancer, when they do have to get radiation, it's over the course of 5 to 6 weeks, Monday to Friday, for 6 weeks, which is a long time in your life.
Yes,
it's time away from work. It's distance traveled. It's money. and inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. now we have an option for patients who have early stage breast cancer. They have to meet certain characteristics, but we have the option of delivering the radiation in the operating room at the time they're having their surgery. So the lump is removed by the surgeon, and then the radiation oncologist, we place an applicator into the cavity and deliver the radiation while the patient is still under general anesthesia. And so that prolongs the surgery maybe 20, 40 minutes longer.
Mm-hmm.
We remove the radiation applicator and the surgeon closes the patient and the patient goes home that day. And in many of the cases, that would be all the radiation the patient needs.
Oh, that's amazing. Jeanette, I see you. Jeanette Ross is our survivor. That's radical, isn't it? That's
a great thing.
Right.
So the idea is you're shortening and eliminating all that you've described as
right.
the usual course.
Besides the cost. I haven't even gotten the cost. But so
really?
But the inconvenience. And there are many people who decide they just don't want radiation. They're mm-hmm. scared of radiation. And they, 6 weeks of time is a lot to take out of, you know.
Sure. And depending what kind of job you have,
right.
it may not be possible.
Work, family, kids,
right.
and expense and distance. We see because of this new way of delivering the radiation, we now get patients from, further away.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to think about driving the distance to get to us. So they see the surgeon and they could go back to South Carolina after their treatment.
That's amazing. That's amazing. The medical advancements are meaning easier ways to treat breast cancer and really many
right.
areas of medicine.
But not only easier way, but also we're treating less of the normal tissue. A lot of the objections to radiation has to do with the toxicity of the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And, your skin gets brown, it gets black, you could have a blister. Now we're talking about just treating that one spot. So instead of treating the entire breast, we're just treating part of the breast.
That is amazing. If you have a question about breast cancer, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Call now, 404-880-9255. Dr. Gaudette, this is here. Jeanette Ross was sharing her story. And the first thing, Jeanette, you said your friend says, do not go onto the internet, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, because on the internet is a lot of information, but it's not trust information that you can trust,
right.
correct? We have some things, Dr. Gaudette, we need you mm-hmm. to run down the list because we've heard that we increase our risk of breast cancer, for example, if we use deodorant that contains aluminum. Is this true? Any truth to that at all?
No, there's no truth to that.
Okay, so we can use any kind of deodorant?
Yes.
Nothing, you have any advice on that? We're okay with the deodorant?
No, I mean, if you want to be totally safe, you can eliminate aluminum, but aluminum does not cause breast cancer. And there have been studies that have debunked that,
mm-hmm.
But it's still out there.
Okay.
And antiperspirants also.
Antiperspirants and
deodorant. And, some of that came from the fact that when it's a lymphatic obstruction, patients are more prone to getting a cancer,
mm-hmm.
Like an angiosarcoma or other cancers. But it's not that it causes breast cancer.
Well, is this true also then for the type of bra that a woman wears? Because the same thing, the idea being that, you're crushing the lymphatic system. Not true or true?
No, that's not true.
Okay.
False.
So the type of bra, especially an underwire
does not cause breast cancer. Many times when patients are diagnosed with breast cancer, they're told not to wear an underwire bra, but not because it causes any cancer. But because it's pressing, it's causing, if they're getting radiation or they just had surgery,
mm-hmm.
it will be very uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
But not the fact that it causes cancer or it's bad for the breast.
Great clarification. Right. Your calls and questions about breast cancer are welcome right now. Dr. Karen Gaudette is here. We have survivor Jeanette Ross. Anissa Palmer is here to talk about the support group that she has. We want you in this conversation. 404-880-9255. Anissa Palmer, when you are in support and having conversations and you're with survivors and those going through treatment, do you hear them wrestling with these bits of information that they're not sure about? Do you hear about this?
Absolutely. I mean, all the myths are there. Additionally, with foods, what we should be eating, not be eating,
mm-hmm.
environmental, which is limited in research here in the United States,
right?
Factors there. And then additionally, even with, insurance, what's covered, what's not. Options may be limited for some of the clients that do come to us for assistance.
Insurance is a great question. Dr. Gaudette, what about the woman or man who is diagnosed? What are the options if you don't have insurance or you don't have enough insurance to cover your treatment options, what do you generally advise a patient to do? Is there a place where they can go where they can sort that through and come up with a treatment plan good for them?
Yeah, depending on where they are, many times I would refer the patient to, you know, talk to our social worker to see what options we have available. But there are options out there that women without insurance can be covered. Like this Saturday, we have what we're calling it, it's called Breastaville at Emory in association with Sisters by Choice. Free mammograms, free information on Saturday. That's going to be available from 10 to 2. So that's an option.
Looking in your community for that kind of event where you can have a free mammogram. There are free services.
There are free services that are available. And no one is going to turn you, you know, once something is found, nobody's going to turn you away. We just have to find a way to find to get your treatment. There's cancer state aid, depending on how much money you make, that we can do that. So there are other options out there. There's support groups, you know, like
just like Anissa's.
Anissa's is by choice.
Yes.
You know.
So important. So that's where you connect if you
don't have enough. Catholic charity. Yeah.
There's Catholic charities. Yeah. Absolutely. So if you are low on insurance or do not have insurance, these are the places you can start, and they will help you navigate where and how you can get your treatments.
Definitely.
We're taking your calls about breast cancer, and breast cancer awareness is what we're focused on during this month of October. 404-880-9255. Let's go to Patricia in Decatur. Patricia, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just turned on your program, and it's so poignant because I just spoke to my doctor 2 days ago. I found a lump in my breast, and I'm not able to get to see her for an additional 10 days. I'm out of state, and it would be out of my insurance network to get back to Massachusetts. And I'm wondering, is that, should I just make it happen that I go back immediately, or do you think 10 days is a long time to wait for diagnosis?
You know, honestly, it's more emotional and psychological than it probably is physical in terms of waiting. Is it something that showed up suddenly, or it's...
I just found it this Sunday. I don't believe it was there before that. I've had a mammogram within the last year, but it's a pea-sized lump closer to my, my right side. So,
you know, you probably could wait 10 days to get back because the coverage is going to be an issue, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And the way healthcare is going now, you just don't want to be stuck with too much of a bill. So,
That's true.
You know, 10 days is probably fine.
Okay. And should I be doing some sort of unique self-care? Or,
well, no, but you want to check your breast, see what you feel. You also want to see if you feel anything under your arm.
I don't. Yes, I've examined myself.
Yeah, to see if there are any lymph nodes that may be involved. And you also may want to see, even if you don't see your doctor, if it's possible, you could just get a mammogram here while you're here.
I did ask that. I called, and there are grants to have them done free, but they have their doctor recommended, and they have to, you have to prove that you are a state resident to have it done here.
Okay, so, but you do have insurance that covers you in Massachusetts.
I do. So I need to get back to Massachusetts.
It sounds like that's the plan. Yes.
And I would get the mammogram earlier before you see the doctor. So you'd still be there. You would start working on it, you know, ahead of the 10 days.
I see what you're saying.
Yes. And that way it's more.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go and, yeah.
We wish you the best on your journey. We're wishing good things and sending you good wishes.
Thank you so much, ladies. I'll listen to the rest of the report tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're taking your calls at 404-880-9255. We're talking about breast cancer awareness. Kathy in Marietta is on the line. Hello, Kathy. Go ahead with your question.
There.
Hello.
I've had three friends in recent years who've had breast cancer, and the two that were in the recent past were both offered the opportunity to have breast reconstruction made from abdominal tissue. The latest one was just told she has to have implants, that she wasn't given that option, and I'm wondering if this is driven by the physician, by insurance, because obviously it's got to be cheaper to put in implants than have a plastic surgeon do a rebuild, or where is this all going, and does the patient's well-being play a role in it at this point?
Some of that has to do with the patient's anatomy. If you don't have a lot of fat, there's not much to move from your abdomen to move up, transfer up to the breast. So a lot of it is determined by the anatomy. And what generally should be done before any type of surgery is that the patient meets with the surgeon, but also meets with a plastic surgeon to see what their options are. So many types of reconstruction are not suitable for everyone. So besides anatomy, we have the other things like diabetes, hypertension, and those types of things, which can affect your outcome from surgery. And so all of those things, all those other illnesses are taken into account too, in terms of healing. All of those things are taken into account when a decision is made about the type of reconstruction. And then some of that, there's also patient preference in terms of having an implant versus doing a flap. But a lot of it, too, has to do with just anatomy and what the doctor has to work with.
And it's not like an evaluation for cosmetic reconstruction. And see, a lot of people make the assumption when they hear reconstruction that, you know, oh, this must be like what we're seeing on television.
No.
You know, it's not cosmetic. It's not. Okay, so that's a very
what they call an oncologic surgery, meaning it's cancer related and you're doing it because of the cancer.
Exactly. That makes sense. We're inviting your calls now. Please call about breast cancer, your experience, your questions regarding breast cancer, 404-880-9255. In Marietta, we say hello to Sybil. Sybil, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, my question is in regards to fatty tissue in the breast. I think there's a name for it. Is it fibrocystic or something?
Actually, fibrocystic is just dense breasts that feel kind of lumpy, but it's not really fat. So I just want to make sure you understand it's not fat, but it's not cancer. What is the question about fiber?
Well, I just wanted to understand what it was and if it's something that could lead into breast cancer.
Oh, okay. Great question. No. Would that set you up for more risk, Dr. Gaudette?
The thing is, directly, no, but indirectly, patients who have fibrocystic disease see a surgeon and they are more closely followed, but it doesn't cause cancer.
Mm-hmm. Just causes you to look closer at it.
Right.
Okay. That's back to your point about anatomy and how everyone is built differently.
Right.
All of our bodies are different. And I think that's the main reason we need to get to a doctor. You've heard of someone else's experience. Don't make an assumption about your body
experience,
or that will be your experience. Make sure you're getting in to the doctor. It's vitally important. We're inviting your calls. We're talking about breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Our number here is 404-880-9255. You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK.
This announcement, in the interest of public health, is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. Is your annual inspection pass due? Regular checkups by your doctor are the key to finding health problems early. 1 in 6 men will get prostate cancer. If you have a father or brother who has had it, your chances of getting the disease are even greater. If you are a man over the age of 40, schedule an appointment today and discuss whether testing for prostate cancer is right for you. More information is available at ccrtd.cau.edu.